Amy? Good. Great. Well, it's great to be here, as it always is. I love coming to Odeon. This morning, we're continuing our journey through Luke's Gospel, and we have come to the morning when Jesus wakes up and thinks, it's today. Today is the day that I am going to die. But before he does, he has to go through a trial, a court case. And I don't know if there's anybody here who's ever been to court, anybody been a witness in court, or been as part of a jury, anybody been the accused, like Jesus? Yeah? Yeah. I've been to court several times. Okay, so we're reading in Luke chapter 22, starting at verse 66. When day came, the assembly of the elders of the people gathered together, both the chief priests and the scribes, and they led him away to their council. And they said, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man shall be seated at the right hand of the power of God." So they all said, "Are you the Son of God then?" And he said to them, "You say that I am." Then they said, "What further testimony do we need? We've heard it ourselves from his own lips." Then the whole company of them arose and brought him before Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man misleading our nation and forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king." And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered, "You have said so." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no guilt in this man." But they were urgent, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea and Galilee, even to this place." When Pilate heard this, he asked whether this man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him over to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. Very convenient. Okay, so, in a nutshell, there was a trial, there was a court case, and Jesus was found not guilty. There was actually a series of interrogations, a series of trials that went on the evening before and then the following morning. And the thing that strikes me is that Jesus doesn't say anything. He really says nothing. And you say, "Hang on a minute, we've just heard him say things. What did he say?" In essence, he said, "That's what you say. You said it. Those are your words." Yeah, to quote the Message version, "Those are your words, not mine." I don't know if you understand how courts work, but courts are not interested in what a person says they did or didn't do. That's not the question that a court has to answer. They're not interested in what a person said or didn't say that they did or didn't do. What they're interested in is what did they actually do? What actually happened? And in order to establish what actually happens, you have to get witnesses. So the religious leaders who had jurisdiction on both civil and criminal courts, they got all these witnesses to come along and provide testimony, and they wanted some people to provide false testimony so they could accuse Jesus and kill him. But as it says in Matthew's gospel, they found none. So they got all these witnesses, but none of it added up. They could not pin anything on Jesus. And Jesus says nothing. In fact, in John's account of the trial, Jesus says, "Why do you ask me? Ask those who heard me what I said. They know what I said." Jesus remains silent, which reminds us of the words of Isaiah about 700 years before that said, "Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." He didn't say anything. So finally they say, "Are you the Son of God?" And his reply, "You say that I am." And then he says something very, very interesting. I find this such a profound statement. He says, "If I tell you whether or not I'm the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, if I tell you, you will not believe." And I thought, do you know what? Would any of us believe? Would any of us believe if Jesus stood in front of us and said, "I am the Messiah"? Would we believe him? No, I can see Anne shaking her head. No, I don't think we would. Why would we? Why would we? You know, when you're at school and people are telling you things, they're teaching you things, do you believe everything that you're said? If you've got a good teacher, they'll say, "Don't believe everything I said. Go and look it up. Look it up in the book. Check what I'm saying is right." That's why we do experiments and we test things. We don't just believe everything that a person says about themselves. We test it. We examine it. You remember when Paul went to the Berean Jews with the gospel? It says that they were of more noble character than the Thessalonian Jews because they examined the scriptures and didn't just accept what Paul said. They looked into it. They didn't just believe what they were told. So if Jesus told us, would we believe? No, I don't think we would. I think Jesus seems less concerned to tell us who he is than to show us who he is. You see, there was a historical event that nobody's in any doubt about. Everybody seems in agreement about this. There was a historical event. A court found Jesus not guilty. Nobody debates that. It's a historical event. A court put Jesus on trial and they found him not guilty. But we know the outcome. The outcome is Jesus died on a cross. Event, not guilty. Outcome, died on a cross. Doesn't seem to add up, does it? Professor of psychology Paul McGee wrote a book called Sumo. It was an international bestseller. He couldn't get it published initially, but when he did get it published, it became an international bestseller. The book was called Sumo, Shut Up, Move On, straight-talking guide to succeeding in life. And he had a very, very helpful mantra in this book. He said, event plus response equals outcome. So in other words, the outcome of an event is not just based on the event itself. So for example, if you think of a natural disaster, how many people die in a natural disaster is not just based on the natural disaster itself, it's also going to be determined by the emergency response. On a more individual level, if somebody stamps on my toe, and I ignore it, it's going to be a different outcome than if I push them and say, what are you doing, mate? We're going to get into a fight. So the outcome of the event depends on our response. So event happened in the past. There was a trial and Jesus was found not guilty. The outcome depends on our response. The other thing that strikes me about this statement that Jesus says, if I tell you, you will not believe, is that believing is an act of the will. It's a choice. He says, if I tell you, you will not believe. So we choose to believe. It's a choice. And then you might think, well, why do we choose anything? Well, we think about it, we add up the pros and cons, and then we make a choice. John Cotter, in his book, The Heart of Change, says, people change what they do less because they're told something that shifts their thinking than because they're shown something that influences their feelings. Now, he's not saying that sensible thinking isn't important in making choices, but what he is saying is that our choices seem to be more influenced by how we feel about something than what we think about it. So is it head versus heart, or evidence versus personal encounter? No, it's both. It's both head and heart, but it seems to be that a very, very important thing about making good choices is our heart. And our heart is the place where our emotions are, where our empathy lies, where we connect with other people, where we have intuition, emotional intelligence, things which men in general don't seem to be quite so good at compared with women. And it's why there is emerging scientific evidence that the teams that work best are not just the teams that contain women, but the teams that contain slightly more women than men. The heart is very, very important in making good choices. We believe not just with our heads, but with our hearts. So in 2004, when Mel Gibson made the film which he called The Passion of the Christ, he could have called it The Philosophy of the Christ, because philosophy literally means love of wisdom, and Jesus was, by many people's estimate, the cleverest man who ever lived. So if you're going to make a film about Jesus, why don't you call it The Philosophy of the Christ? The Passion of the Christ. The Passion of the Christ, because his movie focused on the last 24 hours of Jesus' life, his trial and his crucifixion. The Oxford English Dictionary definition of passion is strong and barely controllable emotion, or the suffering and death of Jesus Christ. Strong emotion, suffering and death. It hurts. You feel it. Given the choice, I would rather feel clever than feel pain. There are two responses to the passion of the Christ. You can either be smart, or you can just smart. You can either say, I'm too clever to believe all that, or you can just feel the pain. We should feel this. We believe with our hearts. Don't believe me, believe the Apostle Paul. Do you remember what we heard read earlier? It is with our hearts that we believe. So, there was an event that happened in the past, a trial that found Jesus guilty, but the future outcome depends on our response. One of Jesus' closest friends once said, to all who did receive him, in other words, accepted that there was a trial and Jesus was found not guilty, to those who believed in his name, who chose to believe, he gave the right to become children of God. Past event, found not guilty. Present response, choose to believe. Future outcome, become children of God. But Jesus' trial, his suffering, and his death are not just about a past event. God punishing him instead of us. They're more than that. They're about what courts are really about. An outcome that restores relationships. Enemies becoming friends. So, would you believe in Jesus if he told you who he is? Or if he kept his mouth closed and showed you who he is? Or as one of Jesus' closest friends once said, this is how we know what love is. He laid down his life for us. So you may think that an event that happened 2,000 years ago has no relevance for today, that a response that the people made then determined the outcome of Jesus dying on the cross, and some people say, well, it was just a miscarriage of justice. I would say it wasn't a miscarriage of justice. It was justice. It was very just, because God was punishing Jesus for our sins. But to take that view means we need to accept that Jesus was not guilty, and we need to choose to believe in him if we are to know that future outcome of becoming children of God. Without that, there is no future. Without that, we die, and that's the end of it. And I find it really, really interesting that in saying nothing, Jesus clearly demonstrates that he knows what court's about. They're not about what somebody said they did or didn't do. They're about getting evidence to prove that they did or do something. So he kept totally silent about what happened in the past. He said, you ask them, they'll tell you. I said nothing in secret. But the only factual thing that Jesus actually says in the passage that we read this morning is something that's going to happen in the future. He knows he's going to die on the cross. He knows the outcome of the trial that found him not guilty. But the only factual thing that he tells us is the Son of Man will sit at the power, the right hand of the power of God. So there is a future for all of us that depends on how we respond to this event. Let's choose to believe with our hearts, not just with our heads. Let's look at the trial and suffering of Jesus and let our hearts respond. Let us feel the pain of what he went through for us and not be clever and think that's not relevant to me. The best choices are made when we engage our hearts as well as our heads. Let's choose Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. Thank you that you put him on trial, that he was found not guilty, but he laid down his life for us. Help us to accept, to choose to believe, and as we make that choice, would you give us the gift of faith? Would you give us that future outcome of becoming children of God and of knowing one day we will have a future that goes on beyond this life? Amen.